Welcome to A Very Outspoken Christmas. It's that time of year to crank Mariah Carey in the car and begin your Christmas shopping.
Our names are Amy Kate and Sophie Tauber. We're identical triplets, and during the festive season, we have an identical opinion. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. In this special series, we're discussing all things Christmas.
Four for you, Glen Coco. You go, Glen Coco.
And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
Hello and welcome to our first episode of our second series of A Very Outspoken Christmas. We are so excited to kick off our Christmas series. We did have Taylor Swift's Christmas Tree Farm song blaring before. I think the vibes are high. Everyone's feeling very Christmassy.
I'm just loving that it's socially acceptable to even play this song at the moment. It is my favorite song. It feels like it's one of those songs that's been around since childhood, but it's bizarre. It's only been out for a few years, and I think that is testament to Taylor Swift.
I feel like some of our listeners were very upset that we didn't actually mention Taylor's re-release of Red on Monday's episode. And that is because we pre-recorded the episode before the album had dropped. And my God, I have just been listening to it nonstop. I'm absolutely in love with All Too Well Again. That 10-minute version is an absolute banger. I thought I would feel a bit funny about new verses being added, but they are so good.
I've also been living for all of the memes about Jake Gyllenhaal at the moment. I do feel a little bit sorry for him, but they're just hilarious. Taylor Swift fans have inundated his comment section, all doing little emojis of red scarves.
Or was anyone else surprised that they only dated for 3 months? That really shocked me.
Yeah, but when you're 21, that probably feels like a really long relationship, particularly if it's someone in the public eye. Have you guys seen all the stuff about Jake Gyllenhaal's sister? How apparently she's now being asked multiple times to return Taylor Swift's scarf and if she still has it. There's this whole hoopla about who actually has that scarf. Well, he was pictured in paparazzi photos with the scarf on, which blew my mind. I never knew those photos existed.
Yeah, but a lot of people think that the scarf is a euphemism for her virginity, which kind of makes sense, I feel.
It's kind of a bit gross to talk about because she hasn't really confirmed or denied whether it is a euphemism or not.
I don't think it is. Yeah, I know, but I just thought that was really interesting. And there's a lot of emphasis on the word innocence in that song.
That was my breakup song. And very embarrassingly, I do recall the day after being broken up with, I shared a rather embarrassing quote from that song.
Which, was it the crumpled up piece of paper?
Yeah.
Did you actually put that on Instagram?
Yeah, I put that on Instagram. I subsequently removed it a couple of days later. But I kept seeing these memes about all those TikToks and people were saying that they almost wanted to be heartbroken at that time to enjoy the 10-minute version of the song.
I do feel like that album really does take you back to that time and you can still enjoy it whilst not being heartbroken. I mean, I'm glad that I'm not heartbroken listening to it. Hey, I call me your forget, just to break. We've decided to introduce a new Christmas segment this year, which is your Christmas dilemmas. Now, Christmas may be the best time of the year. However, it does have its own special dilemmas that pop up. So we thought we would try and help out and answer some of our listeners' dilemmas. Now, one that has been sent in is, should you buy someone that you're dating a Christmas present? Now, I have been in this situation before and it's fucking awkward.
And we're talking about early dating, right? We're not talking about you've been dating there for 2 years. We're saying you've just freshly started dating.
Yeah, there's no titles. You've sort of only seen each other, I'd say, for a couple of weeks leading into Christmas.
Or even a couple of months, I feel like it's a bit unknown.
Yeah. So what do you guys think the goal is?
Well, I feel like you should only give a gift if you are officially an item. I feel like if you've had that chat that you're exclusively seeing one another, then that's when you can buy a gift.
Yeah, because it's not like you're actually seeing the person on Christmas Day. If you were to catch up with the person, I think it would be okay to bring a bottle of wine or a box of chocolates. That shows that you care, but it's not too over the top. Whereas if you've picked out some expensive gift and they give you nothing, that would be so awkward.
I think it's a bit of a power play as well to be the one that doesn't give the person a gift. Like if you're early on in this relationship, if you're not girlfriend and boyfriend, do not get them a gift. Wait, if they get you a gift and you feel really bad, you should say, oh my goodness, I actually left your gift at home. I'll have to organize another time to give it to you.
No, do you know what you do? You have a backup gift ready. that's returnable, and it's not something that's over the top. It's not ultra personal, as I said.
You did
maybe
that, Kate.
Yes, I have. I have done that.
Facebook Marketplace got it moved. Yeah,
I actually got more money back for the gift, which was great.
Yours was quite a personal gift, actually. It wasn't.
We won't go into it.
Let's not judge me. All right. Let's just. We're learning from my mistakes.
Do you know what was really cute? I started dating Dale around Christmas time, and we didn't give gifts because I think we only started dating like maybe the 10th of December. But after Christmas, he gave me this little penguin because I love penguins. And he said, oh, I just saw it and I just thought you'd like it. But actually, he'd purposely gone out to get it.
So was it a Christmas present?
It was kind of like, oh, I was thinking of you over Christmas kind of thing.
I remember Brandon and I had started chatting around the Christmas period and he's like, oh, yeah, expect one of those little blue Tiffany's boxes under the tree next year.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I've never received one.
What the hell?
No, to be fair, he bought you like an $800 diamond necklace like Sammy Robinson.
Okay, oh, that was better than Tiffany's.
If we're talking about dilemmas with gifts, what do you do if one partner wants to spend more? Like, do you have to pull them in line and say, look, I don't have the money to spend that?
I feel like there should be some sort of a discussion when you are, you know, you are more settled in your relationship to set the expectations, because you do feel like a real asshole if your present doesn't match up. Do you know what could be a nice idea if you've only just freshly started dating, you've made it official? Maybe to get them a gift of something that you can do together, like an activity. That could be something nice.
Yeah, because then you can pass it off if you don't receive a similar thing of value as, oh, this is just a fun thing to do together, rather than a serious gift.
I'm not sure about the whole card thing.
Really? Why not?
Sending out a holiday card together? I just don't know if we're really quite there yet.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Huh?
Where is this relationship going?
Let's do the card!
Taylor Swift is so synonymous with Christmas that she has her own festive spin-off holiday called Swiftmas. The super talented 11-time Grammy Award winner has Christmas in her blood, growing up on a Christmas tree farm. Taylor opened up about that experience on her first original Christmas song called Christmas Tree Farm. Kate, can you tell us more about the song?
Well, Taylor wrote the song on the 1st of December 2019 after being inspired by a Christmas vacation, and she ended up releasing the song 5 days later, which took everyone by surprise because they didn't even know that this had been in the works. And she explained that she didn't actually want to wait until next Christmas to release it because it was so far away, so she wanted to surprise everyone. And I'm so glad she did, because the song is just the best.
My heart is a Christmas tree farm where the people would come to dance under sparkling lights, bundled up in their mittens and coats, and the cider would flow, and I just want to be there tonight.
Now, after the song was released, Taylor made a tweet where she joked about the origins of the song, and she wrote, I actually did grow up on a Christmas tree farm in a gingerbread house deep within the yummy, gummy gumdrop forest, where, funnily enough, this song is their national anthem. So obviously, while the bit about the gumdrop forest was a joke, she wasn't kidding about actually growing up on a Christmas tree farm, though. So before moving to Nashville at 14 to pursue her music career, Taylor actually grew up in Pennsylvania, and this is where the Christmas tree farm was. So funnily enough, her dad, Scott, bought it as a bit of a hobby. So he was a stockbroker, but in his spare time, he maintained the farm. So the Christmas tree farm was pretty massive. It spread across 11 acres. And according to Taylor, every family member had a job. So Taylor said her dad would get up really early to work on the farm before he would go into his job. And apparently Taylor's job was picking the praying mantis pods off the tree so they wouldn't hatch inside people's houses. Now that seems like a very important job, because there is nothing worse than having a tree filled with bugs when you bring it home.
I would have thought her job would be grading the Christmas trees. You know how we've had that joke about what the gold standard tree is, what the silver standard. I feel like Taylor would be good at that, putting the price tag on the trees.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because in her film clip, you do get a glimpse of what life was like living on a Christmas tree farm. We didn't see them grading the trees. However, the music video did feature a lot of home videos. Sophie, can you tell us more about this?
Well, they really reminded me of our own home videos, because we were also born in 1989, and they've got that kind of fuzzy, grainy video footage that all the YouTubers are trying to capture at the moment. So the vision shows inside Taylor Swift's family home, and of course they had a real Christmas tree, and it really reminded me of our family tree because it had all of the old school decorations on and, you know, the crappy homemade stuff.
The school decorations you bring home.
And I totally think we'd be best friends because she also had one of those very 90s red Christmas stockings that I feel like every child grew up with, and we still have ours now that we use every Christmas Eve.
So we'd be best friends because we all had crappy homemade Christmas decorations.
That's right. That's right. There's also a lot of vision of Taylor playing in the snow and sledding, and it just looks so magical. It makes me very jealous that we don't have a winter Christmas here.
I really did enjoy also the appearance that FC or Father Christmas made at her family home. I'm assuming it's her dad, and Taylor's sitting on his knee telling him what she wants for Christmas. There was also a really sweet moment where she opens up a Christmas present, which ends up being a guitar. And I feel like it's one of those like iconic moments where you're like, oh, this is how she became who she was.
I also want to know because growing up, I thought that everyone's parent filmed the Christmas present opening. Mm. And obviously Taylor's family did that. But I want to know in our Facebook community, did your parents or do your parents film you opening Christmas presents? Because it was almost the most annoying thing. Like you'd waited all night to go downstairs to open your present and then dad would have to set up the video camera. And it seemed to take forever. I don't know what he was doing.
I feel like we should watch some of those back in the lead up to Christmas because there's nothing better than reliving your family Christmases. However, I do remember a while ago watching one when we were about 7 years old and we kept saying wacky do at everything. Did anyone else used to say that? I feel like Taylor Swift would have been saying that in front of her Christmas tree. Well, I really feel like Taylor's love for Christmas comes through in this music video, and she herself said that this love of Christmas does come from growing up on the Christmas tree farm. And she said, I really love Christmas. I wish it was all year round just for the feeling that everybody has. Everybody's buying gifts for each other and there's a sort of feeling about it. But I think that the fact that I love it so much is probably because I grew up in a Christmas tree farm. I wonder if there's anyone out there that has a Christmas tree farm that in fact hates Christmas, because I always thought it would be a stressful time for them. They'd be working a lot, but I suppose this was a bit of a hobby farm.
I definitely think it could go either way, that you either really love Christmas or you really hate it. And maybe because it was just a hobby, as you said, there was that love for Christmas.
Yeah, well, Taylor did say that her friends are so sick of her talking about autumn coming and they think that maybe she's an elf because she gets so excited about Christmas.
Now, I love the fact that some sleuths have gone as far to try and find the Christmas tree farm that Taylor grew up in.
Yeah, so the Swifties kicked into full force investigation mode after the artwork for the Christmas tree farm was released. So for those who haven't seen it, it's a very cute picture of Taylor. And in the background of the photo, there's a wooden gate that says Pine Ridge Farm. So all the Swifties have gone and Googled Pine Ridge Farm and discovered that there are actually quite a few of them in Pennsylvania with that name. So there's a wedding venue called Pine Ridge Farm, which is not the Swifts' old property. And there's also a home that has been owned by the Fowler family for at least three generations. So that one is crossed off the list. But funnily enough, Taylor did actually visit the Christmas tree farm that she grew up on in 2016 and surprised the new owners of the farm. Can you imagine what that would have been like?
Do you think they were even aware that, you know, that she owned it?
Well, apparently they only found out once they'd bought the place because The pizza delivery guy was like, oh yeah, Taylor Swift used to live here, by the way.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? You'd probably think it was bullshit. So what happened was Taylor was doing an interview with Vogue and she was back in her hometown because she was a maid of honor in her childhood friend Brittany's wedding. And so they decided to just drop past the farm. They hadn't told anyone in advance. And she pulled up to the house, literally wound down the window to the guy that had just stepped out of the house and was like, hey, I used to live here. And he looked at her like, oh my God, and was like, yeah, I know. The worst thing is that this couple were grandparents and their daughter actually owns the house and they live in it. And the daughter, of course, ran over. I suppose she pretended that she was organically there, but I'm assuming she got the call and like just sprinted to the property. But her two young daughters were away on a ski trip at the time. So they missed out. So Taylor did a full tour of their house and she went into her old bedroom and recorded a video saying, oh, hi girls, I'm here. I wish you guys were here. This is my old room. I would just have been absolutely spewing. I don't think you could have any bigger regret than going on this ski trip.
That gives me such anxiety though, thinking of Taylor Swift rocking up to my house and then wanting to go into every single room. Like, can you imagine if you just had your dirty clothes just thrown out?
Well, especially if Vogue there as well. There'd be a bit of shame going on.
Do you think it would be like, say I found out that Taylor Swift owned the house that I now live in. Maybe I'd just constantly be on high alert, keeping it clean, just in case one time she did drop over.
I'm disappointed in the real estate agents as if they didn't use that as a selling point. Because if I knew Taylor Swift lived in a house, I'm sorry, I'd be paying more for that house.
You could have tours for people. I mean, clearly people are interested in coming around looking at it.
It kind of reminds me of the Kardashians when they always visit their old houses, but they do it in such a condescending way. Yeah. Like, oh, I can't believe we lived in such a small house.
Kanye like drives past these like rundown old flats and the kids can't believe that it was like one room.
No, but it's worse though when it was Courtney and Scott, because their house was actually amazing and their kids were acting like it was some dive.
Yeah, it's like, where's the movie theater?
I do love the fact that the pine trees that Taylor and her family planted when they were living there are now these massive trees, and they've still got other little touches. So there's a split rail fence that Taylor's parents built still standing there. It's really cute because Taylor's dad, Scott, actually bought and lived on the property before he met Taylor's mum, Andrea. And for their first date, she came to a party that he hosted at the farmhouse. So it does seem like a really sentimental place for the whole family.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I wonder if Taylor was driving by to try and buy back the Christmas tree farm, because if you had that much money, wouldn't you think, I want my old house, I want this Christmas tree farm?
We always talk about the fact that we would buy our grandma and grandpa's old place if we were somehow to win the lottery or something, and we'd restore it to exactly as it was.
It really seems like Taylor loves surprising people at Christmas, because not only has she surprised the people that own her Christmas tree farm, but she loves surprising her fans, so much so that the word Swiftmas has become a thing. Amy, can you please explain to those who have never heard of Swiftmas what it is?
Well, as the name suggests, Swiftmas is a mashup of Swift and Christmas, and it was actually Taylor's fans that came up with the holiday name in 2014, and it was when Taylor began sending her biggest Tumblr fans early Christmas presents. So it all started when fans noticed an anonymous poster leaving a single Santa emoji on their posts. So this anonymous poster was none other than Taylor herself, and suddenly large packages started showing up on these lucky fans' doorsteps.
Sorry to butt in here, Amy, but it just cracks me up that she leaves these Santa emojis on people's posts. Do you reckon she started the whole red scarf thing on Jake Gyllenhaal's thing? Like, she just has these fake names and starts it.
Well, everyone was leaving the snake emoji on hers. Yeah. I think this is a thing that people do. So just back to Swiftmas. Understandably, when these Christmas gifts started rocking up on the Swifties' doorsteps, they started filming their reactions to the gifts. And after the videos were created, Swiftmas went viral.
These videos are hilarious because there's so much screaming and crying involved. And to be fair, I would be reacting in the exact same way. So one girl shared her reaction video to Instagram with this incredible caption. She wrote, "Screaming, crying, perfect storm. This was my face when Taylor Swift gave me these incredible things." What a caption.
Absolute banger.
It was
caption.
Amazing. I love that. I did also like that Taylor got in on the fun. So she released her own YouTube video on her channel for Swiftmas, which now has over 19 million views. So in the video, Taylor shows herself personally gift wrapping all the presents. And God, she does a good job. They're very nicely wrapped. And I love the addition of Meredith and Olivia, her cats, because they're just sitting on the wrapping paper like any other normal cat. There's probably cat fur over the people's gifts, which I'm sure would excite them even more.
Yeah, she did. I remember she said in one of her videos, like, oh, I'm so sorry, there's probably fur in this. Does anybody else get emotional when they watch those videos? Because Soph, you said that, you know, it's kind of funny that they laugh and they cry and everything. But I actually get super emotional watching some of those videos because it's just so cute.
It's
that
more
Taylor
when she's
is taking
it.
Yeah, like her sitting there wrapping it, and you just know how much it would mean to those people to receive the gift.
But you also feel like it means a lot to Taylor because you feel as though Taylor genuinely cares for her fans.
Well, she refers to all of them by name in the videos, and she definitely seems to know a lot about them. And this is where the term Tay lurking came up, because it's quite clear that she's an avid viewer of some of these fans' Tumblr accounts, because when she sends the gifts over, each present in the box has a note attached to it that's handwritten and kind of points out different things that she's noticed about this person. So for example, one of the videos I watched, This girl was Jewish, so Taylor sent her a Happy Hanukkah card, which she just started crying about. Her parents were so impressed that Taylor had picked that up. And this girl was also going on a trip after Christmas. So Taylor had handpicked all these gifts for the trip. So she's like, I think you'd look amazing in these, and gave her like Ray-Ban sunglasses. And then there was a toiletry bag and a slip to wear over her bathers. And just such thoughtful things that I could imagine you would just savor everything forever. It was funny because the girl's dad was in, like, he was sort of off camera, but she kept passing him bits of like ribbon, like, oh, keep this, and oh my God, keep this wrapping paper.
Can you imagine our daddy, like, not even realize the gravity of it?
As well as the present, she also wrote personalized cards. So one of Taylor's fans called Haley shared a photo of her Christmas card from Taylor, which read, Haley, oh hey, so here's an important thing I've learnt recently. The more you laugh, the happier you are, even in the midst of pressure and stress and jet lag and chaos. If I can laugh, I know it's going to be okay. Want to know something? You can always make me laugh. Thank you for that, for your sassy posts and off-the-wall videos, and for not taking me or yourself too seriously. I got you some presents that reminded me of you while globetrotting, because every day I'm hustling, and bought you early Christmas gifts, evidently. Hopefully I'll see you soon, but I'll see your Tumblr like tonight. Love, Taylor. All I could think of when reading this letter was just what a thoughtful girlfriend she must be.
I don't know if I'm really emotional or something, but I felt like crying reading that because it was handwritten. Her handwriting is just so Taylor. Like, you can tell she's written all of it. And just to kind of make someone feel so special, to point out specific things that they've done or said, you would feel so seen from that card.
Yeah, I must be feeling hormonal because even hearing about it, I feel like, oh, that's so sweet. Gosh.
Well, the thing is, it's not only the letters that were really personalized. The gifts, as I mentioned before, were totally personalized. And they were also from places all over the world. So there was things like, there was a gift from Japan. So this Haley girl ended up getting a tea set from Japan. And Taylor, of course, accompanied it with a handwritten note that said, from Tokyo with love. I thought of you when I saw this in Japan because you can drink tea using this or whatever else you feel like drinking. Lol. Hashtag never forget. So there's another personal joke that I'm not sure what it's about, but something obviously from Tumblr. Can you imagine getting this, like thinking, oh my God, when Taylor Swift was in Japan, she actually thought of me and got this gift?
It blows my mind that she actually goes and looks at fans' Instagram accounts or like fan accounts that they make up for it. It makes me think maybe I've got to join Tumblr and create a Taylor Swift fan account.
I'm sure she's not on Tumblr anymore.
Or maybe I'll just do it on Instagram.
I think you're a little bit late to the Tumblr party. I mean, I thought Tumblr was cancelled in 2014, but apparently it was still a thing then.
Let's be honest, though. A lot of people are probably thinking this listening, like, how much say does Taylor Swift have in this? Or does she hire people to go and look on Tumblr and find her biggest fans? Or is this all just a publicity stunt? I know it's not because I'm a Swiftie, but people would be thinking that, cynical people.
Well, it is obviously an incredible way to connect with your fans and show what a nice person you are. But after watching so many of these Swiftmas videos, it's pretty clear to me that these are genuinely good deeds that Taylor Swift is performing. And it's clear that she wanted to give back to the people that really support her the most, because she does pick out her biggest fans. And this isn't the first nice thing she's done for her fans. She's always including her fans. So when she released 1989, she invited 89 of her biggest fans to an album listening party, and the fans got treated to homemade cookies and brownies from Taylor Swift. There was another time where she paid off a fan student loan. So she gave the fan $1,989, so in homage to 1989, and she accompanied the check with a personalized watercolor painting that she did herself and a handwritten note.
I wonder if the painting was any good or if it was a bit awkward.
I was just thinking, I wonder if, imagine if her brownies didn't taste that good, like if you're at the
fine like a brogue I'm hair sure. in it.
Well, there's also another touching thing that Taylor did back in 2013. So there was a high school student called Kevin who had leukemia, and he invited Taylor to his prom, and she actually couldn't make it, but instead she took him as her date to the 2013 AMA Awards. Could she get any nicer? Like, seriously.
I was actually listening to an entrepreneurial podcast by Gary Vaynerchuk, so known as Gary V, and he was talking about the Taylor Swift effect and her publicity campaigns. And he was basically saying What Taylor Swift does with Swiftmas and these other good deeds she's done is the best type of PR you can do, because she doesn't go out and tell different media companies about what she's done. These people are so in awe of her that they're going to film it and put it out themselves and create good publicity. It's like when she rocked up at a fan's wedding and was their wedding singer. She didn't film any of it. Everybody just put it out there.
And it comes across as so much more genuine.
Look, I just want to put it out there, if Taylor is Taylor-king, that, you know, Reese and I are looking for a wedding singer if she'd like to do a good deed.
Yeah, she might be able to sing You Belong With Me, even though it is a pretty unconventional wedding song that you want to walk down the aisle to.
Taylor, it's 21st of January 2023. You know, it's more than a year away. Mark it in the calendar.
That is a lot of the stuff I went shopping and got yesterday for presents. And that's Meredith.
You sitting on them and biting the wrapping paper has really sped up the process. And I'm sure that Michelle will really appreciate having holes in her presents.
Now, in the lead up to Christmas, we thought, what better way to help you get in the Christmas spirit than share some of our Christmas recommendations? Sophie, can you kick us off?
Well, my recommendation is new Christmas movie Love Hard, and it is currently trending on Netflix at the moment. I can definitely see why. So Brandon recommended that we turn it on, which was quite surprising. And I was a little bit skeptical because in recent years, I feel like there's been some really average new Christmas movies out. So I usually like to stick to the old faithfuls like Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or Christmas with the Cranks. But this movie really exceeded my expectations. So it's basically about an LA columnist called Natalie who meets someone online and chats to him for a couple of weeks and decides that she's going to fly over to surprise him for Christmas. Now, evidently, this guy is catfishing her. She rocks up and it's this guy living at home with his parents. He lives in his basement. They paint him as a bit of a loser. And it turns out that the hot guy that he's pretending to be actually lives in the town.
Now, please don't say any more, Sophie, because I feel like you're going to ruin it for everybody.
I won't ruin it, but basically...
She already ruined it for me.
But basically, this movie has been quite controversial because some people say that it glamorizes catfishing.
I'm sorry, who is saying that?
It was actually Pedestrian. Pedestrian being very negative about this movie.
Oh my God, it is a Christmas movie. Take it for what it is.
Oh, I actually found it so cute. Like, you know when your heart kind of like breaks at certain points and it's just... Then it's so wholesome and lovely. It was everything I was after in a Christmas movie.
The thing is, with the whole glamorization of catfish, you've got the TV show Catfish to show you the real dark and murky shitty side of it. So I feel like it evens itself out there.
I think what it mostly showed was not to be so fickle when you are on these apps.
So Amy, what about you? What's your Christmas recommendation?
My Christmas recommendation is a food. It's a Christmas biscuit and it's really hard to pronounce. I believe it's Pfefferanzer. It's a German biscuit. It's a gingerbread biscuit. And apparently the name means pepper nut.
What the hell is a pepper nut?
Well, it means like nuts and a bit of... So the recipe has a pinch of pepper in it. So that's where the pepper comes from. However, the biscuits don't actually have any nuts in them. So they're safe for Reese, if you want to have them.
Wait, I'm so confused. It doesn't sound that appetizing, a pepper.
It's literally those gingerbread things and it's got like a white icing around it.
They are absolutely amazing. If that is the taste of Christmas for me. So they sell them at Coles and Woolworths. Go and get them. They taste so delicious. I'm not usually a huge fan of gingerbread, but they have this sort of like... icing sugar around. They're amazing.
Well, my Christmas recommendation is a little bit of a plug, I suppose, for a Christmas playlist I made up last year for our listeners. So it's called A Very Outspoken Christmas. I have put together what I think are the best Christmas songs. It's a big list of them. I did get some good feedback about the song. So if anyone wants to listen to it, get into the Christmas spirit, maybe put your Christmas tree up to it. We will link the Spotify playlist in our show notes.
Also, if people want to add some suggestions, maybe we can start a thread in the group and people can put in some songs that they'd like added.
Yeah, there's some that I'm going to delete as well because I find when you listen to a playlist a bit, you see which ones you end up skipping. So there might be a few changes from last year. Well, I think that's all we've got time for this Very Outspoken Christmas episode number one. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope it's helped you get into the Christmas spirit a little bit.
And if you have enjoyed the episode, could you please make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify and leave us a rating and review.